Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello. Welcome back to The Shift. Dez here. Back in New York, actually. Just got back. This episode is with Joanne McNally, which I recorded on Sunday in my car, parked on Hatch Street. And, you know, Katie was in New York, so it was just a way to have this week's episode done. No stress about being jet lagged, doing an episode when we got back. And, you know, I thought it'd be cool to get another Irish woman on the podcast. Because as it turns out, Katie is my partner in crime here, but we've never had another Irish woman on. It's always been just Katie and American women. So I thought it'd be nice to chat to an Irish woman. I didn't have anything really specific to talk about. I just kind of wanted to get Joanne's feel about, you know, some of the topics that we cover normally on the podcast, and I think it's really interesting. We live here in the bubble of New York comedy. We talk to a lot of people involved in the New York comedy scene, which, you know, is pretty brash and out there with the sexual stuff. So it was interesting to get Joanne's take on that. And I think you're going to enjoy it. Joanne, by the way, one of my favorite comics. I've known her, I guess, since she began doing comedy, really. I had originally seen her in I think it was Singlehood, the show, before she started doing comedy. But when she got into comedy, I got to know her. Great comic. Talks about some tough stuff in her comedy. So I knew she wouldn't be afraid to be strong about some of the topics we discuss. So enjoy it, and I'll talk to you after the app. We're going. All right. Joanne McNally is here. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, Dez.
We had to start quickly because the conversation was kind of happening.
Yeah.
And we weren't recording, you know?
Yeah.
So, because you were asking me, like, what was I going to ask? And, you know...
Well, like, just team-wise, not like... Well, listen, trying to, like...
No, I know.
Questions.
No, I get that, yeah. But like I was saying to you, because it's like a, you know, it's like a sex dating podcast, right? But, I mean, its original goal was kind of sort of like an Irish vibe, but it's not really an Irish sex and dating podcast. It's really just a sex and dating podcast with like a little bit of an Irish flavor. But despite the fact that I got to think at least 75% of our listeners are Irish women.
Okay.
We've only had one Irish woman on, and that's my co-host, Katie, who's not in Ireland right now.
Yeah.
Back in New York. So I just thought it'd be nice to just chat to you.
Yes.
Quite generally, just about sex and a few topics that come up a lot on the podcast, just because we haven't had another Irish female voice, and you're obviously going to have a different take.
And American women are much more vocal about sex than we are. They talk about sex in a way that we don't.
Yeah, absolutely. Which comes up a lot. I mean, which was kind of like...
They say, I fucked him.
Yes.
All the time.
Yes.
And I get really embarrassed about that.
You do, right?
Yeah.
But
you've seen them do it you've seen American comics come to Ireland and say two sets about fucking men, and they die in their hell because no one wants to hear it.
Well, I don't know. I think maybe dying on their hole is probably
I've seen women die in their hell because they're so... It's like the language is so kind of aggressive or something, and we don't talk like that, and it's shocking to us.
Yes. And the... Do you think that's good or bad?
I don't know. I don't know. I'd have to give it some serious thought. I don't like the way they talk about it.
This is a great time to think about it.
I prefer to be in our position. I know you think we're sexually repressed.
No. I think there's a lot of shame around sex.
Yeah.
For example, why should it be a problem? They talk about it. Why is it that sex requires modesty?
Do you know what happened? Because I think there was this trend that, like, suddenly for women to be liberated or modern, that they had to start having sex like men. So they had to kind of have sex and, like, not really have any emotional attachment to it and be just like, yeah, and I fucked him and then I fucking chucked him and I fucked and chucked him. And I don't think that's a natural state for most women. I think women and men have sex differently.
Yes.
I think women attach emotionally when they have sex in a way that men do not. And I think it's hunter-gatherer shit. And I think, I remember reading this book and it was saying that when women orgasm or have sex, whatever, they release this like attachment hormone.
Yeah, different hormone. Yeah.
That's the same thing as when they give birth. That's why I kept trying to bathe my ex-boyfriend. My ex-boyfriend was this very large man in his 40s, covered in tattoos. And he looked like a pirate. And I saw him as a baby. And I kept trying to bathe him and putting him in the bath and, like, sponging him and stuff. And when I was saying to the girls, they were like, oh, you've obviously got, like, a baby fetish. And I was like, oh, my God, this another thing I need to deal with. I've got a baby fetish.
Yeah, but that's just...
It's not a baby fetish. So I looked into it and it was saying that when a woman has sex and is in love, her man, for want of a better word, becomes like a child, the love is almost maternal, and that's why I kept trying to, like, sponge down and talk my boyfriend. And but, so we make love differently, we have sex differently. So when I hear women saying I fucked him and then I fucked him and there's no emotion involved, I cannot relate to that because that's not how I have sex.
Yes, however, that's personal to you, right?
I don't think that's a cultural. I don't think that's an Irish thing necessarily. And I'll probably get rinsed for saying this. And I'm sure for some women that is a reality. But I also think for some women, they do it to sound. It sounds like bravado to me.
I know, but these are all judgments on your behalf.
Yeah, of course. But with this whole podcast is a chat. It's all my opinions.
No. But I'm just curious. Like,
the same way as they judge me for my opinions.
I say
I made sweet love to him.
Yeah,
I received him internally.
No, I know, but you're making a judgment on, you're making a judgment on why they're saying it, though, is what I'm saying.
So in stand up, okay, so we're talking about two different things, right? So stand up, for example, I think there was a trend that for women kind of to be taken seriously in stand up, they had to talk like men.
Yeah, do you think that's a trend? I think just some women just like doing that stuff.
I think maybe now it's different.
Well, I think that maybe, I mean, I don't talk too much about comedy, I think that possibly that's because both Amy Schumer and Sarah Silverman were kind of two breakout female comedians.
But Amy's different. Sorry, I keep interrupting you. Go on.
Listen, that's fine. We've been getting accused of that for years. As it turns out, it's human behavior, not male or female behavior.
Okay.
But the thing is that they were very successful. And so I think people just try to emulate that.
But I don't think Amy Schumer talks like a man. I don't think Amy Schumer.
She's been quite dirty.
She's dirty, but she's like, I'm dirty. Like, I'm quite dirty in my stand up. Like, I make jokes about, like, men coming on my face, but it's all about, like, that I want some sort of emotional validation from it. Like, as in our motivations are different. And Amy Schumer's kind of the same. Yeah, she's dirty, and yeah, she talks about sex, and yeah, she's like, her language is pretty base sometimes, but she's not removing the emotion from it. She's still very, it's still a very female angle on it. She's not talking like a man, if you get me. Not to me. It doesn't sound like that to me. That's not how I see it.
Yeah, I know. But do you think possibly it's generational also?
Oh, yeah. I think most generations, we're way more progressive now and we're way less kind of frigid and all. But like then, I was listening to this amazing podcast. Stephen Fry did this podcast on, was it Victorian England? It was so good. And he was saying that it was the Victorians. So who came before the Victorians? Was it the Elizabethans? Anyway, I'm not.
No, it was before the Victorians were well after the Elizabethans.
So okay, right. So say the Victorians were actually filthy, and it was the Elizabethans that made sex like something to not be something to be embarrassed about.
No, but no, other way around. I,
are you sure?
Well,
we need to fact check it.
Yeah, there's a lot of fact checking here, but there's a great the Book of Irish Sex or whatever. There's a The historian from UCD, whose name has just gone out of my head for a second, he brought out a very large book about Ireland's relationship with sex, but from a historical point of view. And I didn't read it all, but I read the section on how, like, what was it about Irish Catholic repression that seems to be more intense than other parts of the world. For example, like Brazil is just as Catholic, but they don't have the same sexual repression. And his argument was that because the church got so much power in Ireland post-famine, which the famine was Victorian, and the Victorian ideals were that of purity, modesty, you know, not showing anything. And England moved on from Victorian values, but Ireland, the Catholic Church held on to them. And then the Catholic Church had so much power in an independent Ireland that essentially we had Victorian shame up until fucking 1995.
In the 80s.
1995.
So who was before the Victorians then?
I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
Anyway,
I thought it was interesting that you assume that we're the most progressive period in history, and actually that's not the case. As in, there was a time when we were much more liberal sexually, and people were much less ashamed about it. And usually, it is usually religion that kind of
And it's hard to say how really liberated they were. You know, it's hard to say because you're jumping back, especially when it comes to like social stuff historically. It's really hard to get the evidence to say how did people really feel.
Fry told me.
I know Stephen Fry. Yeah,
and I believe him.
I believe him too. I'm sure he did great research.
He is However, a voice of authority.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to say that they were like complete. It's hard to know, but I'm not denying it in any way, shape, or form. But anyway, the point is that. It's very interesting that you have such a negative... it's very interesting that you're just accusing women of being like men because they're speaking in an emotionally detached way from sexual experience.
I have to be very careful now. This is just my opinion.
It's a very safe space to be sharing.
Grant, this is just my opinion. I've done a couple of talks on... And, I know myself, I have... I get very emotionally involved with sex. I've tried to do that, fuck buddy thing.
Yes.
And I'm like,
it's not your thing.
I can't do it.
Yes. Which is very, is more common than not.
Yeah.
You're in the majority, I think, when it comes to women.
It's like piercing the lid of a microwavable meal. You break your buy. If you're in, that's it. Unless I'm
pissed.
Yeah, not pissed. I never, I can't do one night stands. I learned that. It's not my bag. I'm too proud. I need the validate. I get more validation out of knowing someone wants to have sex. I think a lot of women are like that. I know I'm speaking in sweeping generalizations here, but I think women can get validated from knowing a man wants to have sex with them. That's kind of enough. And they don't need to change the sheets. Whereas men want the actual physical sex. Do you know the kind?
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. This is how I know maybe I'm slightly different to the average. That it's I've got single friends who are like, oh my God, I need the D, need to get dicked, need to get la la la.
Yeah.
I'm just not like that.
Yes.
I could go years without having sex. Wouldn't bother me.
Yeah.
I need to be into someone. And then when I'm into them, I love it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be going around just riding strangers for the sake of the ride.
Absolutely.
So it's just not my bag.
No, which is totally fine. But my question is, why then do you automatically assume that it's kind of like male behavior when some of these women just get comfortable with the fact that sometimes they just like to fuck a guy? For example, a lot of the Irish girls that emigrate to Australia struggle with how casual Australian women can be.
Mm.
You know, that it's just sometimes they just want to get fucked and they go out and get fucked.
Because I think that, and of course, grand. But I think... I know. I have a lot of female friends. We talk. My evidence is anecdotal.
Yeah, but here's my question.
But I know what they're saying behind closed doors.
Do you find, though, that there is a difference between Irish women and other cultures? And the follow-on question to that is, how much of this is hormonal, female? What's naturally female? And how much is it cultural absorption?
I don't know because I don't know because I'm Irish and it's hard for me to tell. I've lived in Australia for a while, but obviously I lived there as an Irish person surrounded by 68 billion Irish people.
Yeah, but did you not find some of the Aussie women, you were a bit surprised at how sort of nonchalant they were about the whole thing?
No, are Australian women kind of traditionally nonchalant about sex?
Well, I think they're definitely more casual than Irish women, but I'm also going on Irish women mentioning that, all the years of going to doing shows, Irish women often say to me, I'm quite surprised at how, particularly since I started doing the shift. So the shift had started, but when I went to Australia last time, so I had a few more Irish women coming up to me saying, I listened to the shift. And I was, because Katie talks a lot about how surprised she was about American women being so open.
Yeah.
And a lot of the Irish women said to me, yeah, I felt the same thing when I came to Australia.
Yeah. Interesting.
And that came from Katie too, of being in America and being just so shocked at how open people were about sex.
Oh, I've no doubt that my like the way I am around sex, it's a mixed bag. Yes, part of it is definitely cultural. Part of it's how I was raised. Sex was definitely something you held back. It was like a carrot.
Mm.
And I mean, and also it's from experience. Like as in like,
well, holding it back can be good technique.
So I know myself from experience, rightly or wrongly, that when I've had sex with lads on the first date or whatever. Sorry.
I was just getting worried for your shirt.
Oh yeah, fair enough. They're out. It does feel like there's some, it's like a strategic move. You kind of have to, and it's terrible, but it's just, it feels to me like I love all the hunter-gatherer stuff. Like, I think we're very animalistic. I think we've very primal instincts, but mm-hmm. now we just have iPhones. And I think a lot of that stuff still exists, those instincts. And I think men just want to, like, fuck women. And women's job was always to kind of keep them interested so they didn't leave them and so they'd help them raise the babies. And I think a lot of that stuff still exists. What was my point? Ask me the question again.
I can't remember what the point was.
Oh, that I saw sex as kind of a commodity, as in like, so you held it back
yeah.
to keep men interested. If you gave it away too soon, they lost interest. Yeah. And that was my personal experience as well. I'm going from that as well.
Yeah, but no, I think
and
that
I've had men who pursued me over the years and that I didn't have sex with, and they're still kind of sniffing around, and I'm 100% sure that had I had sex with them, they would not be sniffing around anymore.
Yeah. No, I mean, I tell people they do whatever they like, but I do think it's good.
Of course. If you're looking, people can do whatever they like.
But if you're looking for something long term, I think for whatever reason, for whatever's going on, whether it's hunter gatherer shit or male learned behavior or gender roles, it's better to wait a bit.
Yeah. And so,
however, I also.
That's a very unpopular opinion, because people are like, I'm a woman, I can fuck what I want, I can do
no,
what I
no, no, it's totally true.
Which they can.
But I do also obviously. Think that. I do also think that it. There are plenty of times where you give it up straight away and the relationship also works out. I do.
Yeah, of course.
I do think that, like, the if you give it up too soon, it's fucked can be over exaggerated as a negative.
Yes. And our opinions mean nothing in the greater scheme of things. But I do know there's also the danger of when you leave it too. So the reason I got into stand up was because I was being this lad that I knew. I was 20. I don't know. I was in my 20s. And he was kind of pursuing me, for want of a better word. I don't know how else you'd explain it. That's what he was sniffing around, as I'd say. And I was like, no, 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 you're grand. I wasn't into it because he was bald. Do you remember this? This is how I started in stand-up. Because I got...
I have a vague memory of it.
Anyway, so this bald lad. And then I hit 30 and I was like, fuck it, I'll give it a go. Because I was like, I don't know, in panic mode, like that I was, you know, yes. going to die alone. La, la,
yeah,
la, la.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had been interested in me for a long period of time. Okay, so obviously he had built up this idea in his head without actually knowing me of what I was like. And then of course I started seeing him, and 2 months in he was like, oh no, actually you're grand, and broke up with me. And it really affected me because I was like, oh god, there was it's something similar happened. And that's not necessarily about sex, but it is something.
No, but
about,
you prefer the power position, right? Of like
course.
Him chasing you.
But it's also the thing of, if someone pursues you, if someone kind of fancies you from afar for an extended period of time, it can be a very dangerous position, because the reality is you're not going to be whatever they've decided you are.
Yes.
And you're a real person with mood swings, and you look like shit in the morning and all those things. So that was another thing for me. I was like, if someone like kind of, I sound like an asshole, you know what I'm trying to say, if someone is interested in you for an extended period of time, I stay away from them as well, because I think They don't know me. And it's actually the biggest rejection is when someone leaves you because they get to know you. Like, that's like the worst thing ever. They're like, I really fancied you when I didn't know your personality. But now that I've gotten to know who you are as a human, I don't want anything to do with you. Yeah. Like, that's extremely.
But then that's also you deciding that that's.
Like, no, that happened to me. Like, that was like, that was a pattern.
No, but I mean, the thing is that you could have also been attracting guys that have problems with intimacy, and the minute you get close, they run a mile. So you can't always think it's you.
Of course, but could I'm self-absorbed, so I always assume.
Yeah, but
me.
I mean, I'm just saying that there could be other things.
Yeah, yeah.
There could
be
other things going on.
But that was also another thing that I was like, oh, even the, like sex and stuff. You're like, I've had sex with lads where I've regretted it, and then I was like, oh fuck. I've never had a one night stand where I've woken up the next day and be like, I'm so glad I did that. I've never once, and there's always obviously drink involved and all those things, and you're not, they're not planned, and I do feel like. When you have sex with someone, you kind of give a part of yourself to that person. That's my thinking on it. That's my Irish Catholic.
Well, yes,
repressed,
or no. I mean, a lot of women say that.
Shameful.
Nikki Glaser says that. She's not Catholic. She's very sort of, she's very open sexually. Do you know who Nikki Glaser is?
Yeah,
and but she talks about that, her own inability to be casual most of the time, because there's just, you know, she thinks maybe it's the physical thing, if somebody's inside you, that it's more personal. But either way, it's very common.
Yeah.
It's very common for people to feel that.
Yeah.
And, you know, one night stands is really very much down to the individual, you know?
Yeah. I just think they're bullshit. They're fake. It's fake intimacy.
But just because...
And women... I'll keep going now because I'm on a roll.
Okay.
I've never once orgasmed from a one night stand. So the only thing I get from it is validation, and it's a fake intimate situation. And the next day you're like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. I just need to get the fuck out of here. La la la, and then it's a great story for the girls. That's my only experience of one night stands.
So let me ask you this: you're having a one night stand. You say you have an orgasm, right?
Which has never happened.
Yes. So
this is fairy tale land.
Do you? No. Do you? Have you ever said to the guy, "Hey, listen"?
No. What? No.
Tell him this is what you need to do.
Never, ever in my life. Now, in fairness,
in a relationship or just a one night stand?
I've only come out of a long term relationship. So maybe now it'd be different. But before that, no. I'd be never like...
With anybody? Or just with a one-night stand?
With a one-night stand.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If I was in a relationship, I'd be like, to the right, to the left, to the right. I used to have stand-up about it being like a fanny boot camp. You're like directing them around the place.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, not in a one-night stand. Because why not? Because you're kind of just going through the motions or something. I don't know. I find them very vacant.
Yeah.
I just don't like
them. But there's no way... I mean, I mean, you've done them. I'm not saying you're going to do them again, but...
I'll probably do them again.
Yeah, but then if you're doing them, why wouldn't you say, I'm going to get as much as I can out of this?
Because
at the end of the day, it's mostly just physical.
Because when I have sex, it's emotional. When I have sex, it's emotional.
Well, then why are you having one-night stands?
I don't. That's why I said I don't have them.
Oh, no, but you just said you probably will.
Oh, yeah. I mean, oh, look, I'm probably going to... Like, I'm not going to... I can't wait until, like, I fall in love again to have sex. You just feel, I also almost feel like you have to keep momentum behind it. Like you kind of just have to get out there. La, 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 la.
So you're in a one night
stand. I might not.
Why wouldn't you just say to the guy, listen, I really like when you go down, or I really like this.
Because I wouldn't be able to enjoy it if I'm not mad about him. If I don't feel that he's mad about me and I'm mad about him. If I don't feel an emotional attachment.
Yeah.
I don't think there'd be any point. I have sex with my mind. My mind is in my vagina. My vagina has a tiny, tiny... brain. That's where my feelings are.
I know. I just can't get it, because then I think, then why bother having one? It's a kind of a...
I know, but that's what I'm saying. I probably won't.
You probably won't, yeah.
No, I might. You know yourself. In the moment you make decisions, you're like, oh, maybe this could be something good or whatever.
Yeah.
And also, I change my mind about things every second of every day.
Yeah.
All the time. But I can't just have sex and like... I don't get anything out of the physical act of sex. It has to be an emotional attachment. That's where I have sex. That's in my mind.
In your mind.
In my mind, yeah.
Yeah. So, the next thing I'm going to... We don't have to talk about masturbation, but... But can I talk about your reaction to when I said that we often talk about masturbation on the show? Because you were just like, no way.
Yeah, I was like appalled, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I'm just curious...
It's personal. I don't want to talk about masturbation. My personal masturbation. It's personal. Why would you want to talk about it?
Well, we're talking about your sex.
Oh yeah, but masturbation feels like more like a private, like sex someone else.
Yeah, but here's
involved.
Where does that come from?
Like the Catholic Church.
No, I'm just curious because
I'm not joking. I'm being serious.
There seems to be a lot more shame around female masturbation than male masturbation.
And women denied it and denied it and denied it, and women still wouldn't. Like I would with my close friends.
Yeah, so
I
was
like thrown into conversation.
I was going to ask you: do you talk to your friends about masturbation?
Yeah,
because obviously. It's hard to get good at. I mean, obviously, the more you do shit, the more you figure out what you like. But it's also quite helpful to have when you talk to friends and then somebody might say, have you ever tried this or whatever. So do you have those conversations?
No,
with
we wouldn't
friend?
Be like, oh, have you ever tried to like reverse cowboy yourself? No, we wouldn't have those chats. No.
But would you ever say like, have you ever used a vibrator? What vibrator do you like?
Yeah, I remember my one of my mates got a vibrator and we were like 20 for her birthday and she lent it to me. We were talking about it recently. We were like 20-year-old sharing, but like it was very juvenile, but also like just cheap. So yeah, but no, we wouldn't be sitting there going, oh, did you have a wank last night? How did you get on? There wouldn't be any of that chat.
Yeah.
But the same way as we wouldn't really, like we wouldn't delve into sex. We'd be like, was he a good ride? Was the ride good? Yeah, it was great. He's a great ride. The ride was great. But we wouldn't be like, and then he flipped me over and then he fucking choked me for 3 minutes and then he came in my face. We wouldn't be talking about it in that level of detail.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We just wouldn't.
Yeah.
I would get nothing out of that. I would get nothing out of knowing that my friend's boyfriend came in her face. Like, I don't need to know that shit.
No, but that's more like kissing and telling. But I guess a healthy version of that conversation would be, have you ever been with a guy and he does this? Like, I love that. And then you might say, oh, I've never tried that. Or you might say, oh, I like that too. Or, you know, there might be a way to just, like, discover more things about...
Oh, yeah, no. I'd probably just discover it with him.
Yeah.
No, we don't. No.
But which is not, I mean, I'm not saying that's positive or negative. I'm just curious.
Yeah, no,
because
there seems to be,
I promise you, there is more shame around masturbation in Ireland than other places. Like American women.
I've no doubt.
So let me, okay, I'll just give you a scenario. Say I'm on like a first or second date in the States and maybe like we're making out and it's getting a bit heavy and they're like, listen, I'm going to go. And I'll be like, okay, like fine. And, then they'll like text me and be like, oh my God, that was so hot. I had to go home and look after myself or something. Would you ever do that?
No.
Yeah. So American
no!
women. Yeah. American women are way more open about the fact that they masturbate.
It would be insincere if I did that. Cause I'd be like, it's like I'm sexting as in like, I'm trying to lead on to something else. Or like, no, it's just not.
Oh
me.
Yeah. No, but they're not sexting. They're basically just like letting it be. I think like I could give you 100 scenarios, but like they're most likely just like sort of letting you know, like, it's not that I'm a prude. It's just that I don't want to have sex yet, but
yeah.
I was horny as fuck. Just
yeah.
So like,
yeah. Yeah.
Like that kind of a thing.
No, I think I probably am quite prudish in general with sex. Not when I'm having sex and not when I'm in love or when I'm into someone or whatever, then like everything, like it's what anything goes, it's all fantastic and we will do whatever. But when it comes to like talking about sex, I would definitely have like, I would definitely be prudish about it.
Yeah. You're not. Yeah.
I'm not and going. And then I fucked him and then I went home and took care of myself. I'm not that girl.
Yeah. And a lot of my Irish male friends are the same, by the way. Like one of my best friends in Ireland cannot listen to this podcast. Like he gets a fucking cringe attack.
Really?
Can't hand. In fact, even recently, himself, his wife, and then his brother-in-law and her wife, or his wife, were over actually in the States, and we were having a chat. And the Irish, you know, his wife, and then his brother-in-law, and the American wife. So there was like one American, two Irish, and my friend. We were having a really open chat about, I think we might have been talking about the podcast, but we were definitely talking quite openly about sex. And he was fucking dying.
Yeah.
It was killing him. And I was like, what the fuck? It's like, what, like, where is this coming from?
Yeah, but you're
from?
In an interesting position because you're...
No, but they were the same. This was his wife. She's Irish.
Yeah. No, I'm saying because you're... Oh, she was openly about... She was.
And so was her brother. Like, it was weird, just him. Yeah. It's just funny that he... It was killing him.
Yeah.
You know, the open chat about sex.
Yeah.
You know?
I'd probably be a bit cringed about it as well.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting. Which surprised me. Honestly, your reaction when I brought up the masturbation thing, it kind of surprised me.
Yeah, I'm like, that's... Yeah.
But we haven't had any other Irish women on. You're only the second Irish woman I've had on.
And is it, yeah, and so were the American women going, yeah, and then
American women don't give a fuck.
Wank for 4 hours.
Oh, they don't give a shit. They yeah. literally just go on.
No, because I'm like, my mum could hear it. Like, I'm, you know, I have a lot of like obstacles in my brain about talking
brain,
this kind
yeah.
of stuff. Yeah. Also, I'm like, you're allowed to have, like, I remember someone calling me once, one of the girls, and it racked my head. She was like, you're frigid. And I was like,
frigid?
Fuck off. She also called me a fascist. She's a very extreme woman. But I was
she a good friend though?
She's one of my best mates.
Okay.
And she loves talking about wanking. But I think the more open someone is talking about sex, they almost get a kick out of the fact that you're a bit more quiet about it. So they're like, well, I'm the sex positive one and you're a fucking frigid bitch and I'll sit here wanking in front of you and talking about it. And that makes me a more modern woman than you. It's like,
I don't know.
You're
transferring some of the responsibility of your uncomfortability onto your
transferring what? I'm like, just wank me and then we'll just get it all out of the way. Yeah, no. And I mean, I know, I'm very aware of that. Like, my parents would be quite conservative, you know, Catholics, you know, we weren't like, I never heard my parents having sex. It was none of that shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and it was always that thing of like, your virginity was like, sex is something to be kept back. Sex is something to be either given or not given. Mm. Not like mutually enjoyed.
And you had no sex education, right?
No, we just, in religion, maybe the closest thing we came to it was watching a sex scene in Forrest Gump and we were like, 14, no, we'd know sex education. I wouldn't even know. What would that be? Would I even want that?
Well,
I don't want to be told how to do like fucking different positions by my teacher. I don't even know what sex education
would be. No, it would be stuff like you're teenagers now, you're probably going to find yourselves exploring areas of sexuality.
God, I'm correct. No,
make
stop.
Make sure. Why? But this is a problem.
Talk about
because they say, you know, if you're going to have sex, it's very important to be protected. You know, you should, you know, make sure you're you know, comfortable emotionally, you know, make sure that, you know, if you're in a situation with a boy that, you know, that, he gets consent, you know, like conversations about consent, what's acceptable, what's unacceptable, you know, obviously be aware of like men being coercive and just, you know, be comfortable with who you are.
Is that sex? Is that not more like talking about consent though? That's not
that's
really
sex.
But it's not sex education. It's not going, your clitoris.
Yeah, but that's because you just decided that's what sex education is. But sex is a lot broader than just that's your clit, this is your penis, shove it in.
That was probably what we were told. Although I remember there's a scene in Mean Girls, which is obviously a classic on your mind.
I mean, consent is actually like...
No, but that's a modern thing.
No, I know, but I mean...
That's a modern thing.
That's like, one thing I threw in. But certainly like condoms would be like really important sex education thing that clearly was not told to young Irish people of your I'm a few years older than you, but of
you're
our
way older than me.
I think I'm 5 years older, but anyway, the condoms thing was definitely not told to us in school, which it clearly should have been told to us that like, listen, we're not saying you should go out and have sex, but some of you are going to fucking do it. Let's just accept it. And when you do, use fucking condoms. Go on the birth control pill because it's way better than getting pregnant.
Well, I went to a convent and that is not a conversation
no, I get
Sister
it.
Kathleen was ever going to
no,
have.
I get it. So you didn't have sex education.
No, so I think it was more like just pretend that's... Like, I feel like the vibe was if it's discussed, it's kind of condoning it. So the best thing is to just not discuss it and then it cannot be condoned.
Yeah.
Which
but
meant
the problem that it... The problem is that... Considering condoning it to be bad is
well,
really where the problem lies.
Yeah, but I suppose they don't want 14-year-old kids having sex. Do you know
yeah,
what I mean?
But it's not. Yeah, but it's not about it's about getting them before there's any chance that it might happen. That's why they give the HPV vaccine to girls before they're say young, before they're sexually active.
Yeah,
I mean the truth is that at least 30%. I'd say nowadays, by the time kids are 16, 30% would be a really conservative number of those that are having sex.
I was 18, 19.
Yeah, which is...
I was like, this is my virginity. This is a special flower and I have to wait. And I was going out with this guy that I was obsessed with who I'm not even sure he really liked me, to be honest. We were going out for years and he just kept breaking up with me all the time and I just turn up at his mum's house and then he'd take me back.
And you waited all those years to have sex?
Yeah. And so anyway.
Danny O'Brien walking by. It's hard to concentrate. Hey, Danny O'Brien walking by with his AirPods on, wheeling, dealing, you know?
And then I was like, I'm going to wait. I'm going to give him my flower. I'm going to wait. It's going to be so special. And we went out for like 3 years and I didn't ride him once. And then I went to Turkey on my leaving cert holiday and rode some Turkish waiter.
Some random dude just to lose your virginity.
Yeah! And funnily enough, he was at the... I didn't remember this, but he was... Obviously, I remembered having sex with the Turkish waiter. But my ex was at the Vodafone Comedy Festival. Last time I haven't seen him in like 8 years. And he was there and we were all a bit pissed. And his girlfriend was there and she was like, he used to go out with him. And I was like, yeah, I lost my virginity to him. And then he was like, you didn't. You lost it to a Turkish waiter. And I was like, fuck, I didn't think I told him that. But yeah, so I saved it for ages and then just like threw it away at the last minute. Yeah.
And but how do you feel nowadays? Now you're a mature woman.
No,
How do you feel about the whole concept of virginity and saving it and this thing being a special thing?
I mean, I don't know anyone who had a special virginity losing ceremony. Most people just lost it in a bush.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I mean more the concept. Like, how do you feel that? Do you think it's healthy or unhealthy? This whole thing of virginity.
I think it's healthy to value yourself. I know that there was girls when we were young and they were kind of like, you know, having a lot of sex with a lot of guys, and I think there was a pain there. I think they were kind of like running away from something. I think it was kind of self-destructive behavior when you see like a 16-year-old girl shagging different lads regularly. I think there's something hurting there. I don't think that's necessarily healthy or normal behavior. I don't. When you're an adult, it's different. Do whatever the fuck you want. But like, if I had a 16-year-old daughter and I'd heard she was doing that, I'd be like, there's a problem here. What's she looking for? She obviously feels she's missing something, or she feels like, why can't she? She needs to validate herself in a different, like, I think you should value yourself.
Yes, absolutely. But that is still a judgment, like, because maybe some 16-year-old girls just like to fuck.
Yeah, maybe they do.
Because 16-year-old boys don't get that judgment.
No, but it's, you can't, like...
No, I know, but I'm just saying they don't
we're
get...
We're different, though.
Yeah, I get that we're different. But yeah, also, people judge people... You know, who's to say that the judgment matches the differences between men and women?
Yes, I'm sure there's 16-year-old girls out there who just love to fuck, and they just want to fuck all day, and that's their vibe. But I'm saying that I know, anecdotally, from having girls in my life who did it, from having girls in my life who didn't do it, from growing up with women, surrounded by women, I have very few male friends. I don't particularly enjoy their company that much. I'd much prefer to have all my women
hanging
friends
out with
around
the girls.
Me. Yes. I am a woman's woman, right? Maybe that's probably a disadvantage. But I've seen it, and I know that the girls who were doing that were hurting. There was something wrong.
Yeah, I have no doubt. I have no doubt that it can be self-destructive behavior. But I was just asking you, how do you feel about the concept of virginity?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know. I think women are definitely told that it needs to be like a special ceremony, that you need to be laid down on a load of petals and like entered, and like there needs to be music playing and all that shit. Is it a special occasion? It's the start of a new part of your life.
Is it?
It is a new chapter. Being sexually active and not being sexually active. It is. Once sex is involved, it does bring a different element to pretty much every relationship in your life. Well, whatever sex you're attracted to. Do I wish I hadn't lost my virginity to a Turkish waiter? Yeah.
But do you like the concept of virginity? Like, it's really I wouldn't be piercing it
and being like, I've got a virginity ring and I'm going to save myself to limit. I wouldn't be any of that shit. It's bollocks.
Yeah, because I just think, like, this whole concept of, like, once that's done, then that's like a period you'll never get back. Like, it's a loss of innocence.
No, it's not.
Like,
I don't consider it a loss of innocence. No. I don't consider it a loss of innocence. No. Absolutely not. And in fairness, I remember at 18 being like, okay, you know, they say like you lose your virginity. I didn't lose it. I aggressively threw it at a Turkish waiter. But like, losing it almost sounds like carelessness. Even the language around it, you're like, I lost it. It was taken from me. Like, I lost it. Like,
yes.
It sounds irresponsible almost.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, if I had a daughter, I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, it's all very different nowadays, you know?
Why?
Well, they're just way more open. They're fluid.
Yeah.
They fuck whoever they want, man, woman. They don't care.
Yeah, that's very true, yeah. Yeah, no, we're very conservative in comparison. Because we're the product of our generation.
No, totally, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just interesting because doing this podcast, you see that, you know, a lot of people don't.
Like, I remember being at the Cat Laughs, and I can't remember her name, and I wouldn't even say it if I did. And there was a comedian, and she was lovely. We actually watched her together. She was a really lovely girl. I met her backstage after.
Recently?
Yeah.
Oh, was it me and you watching?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, funnily enough, that's who I was thinking of when you talked about it earlier.
She was like, so firstly, like...
And she's doing really well, by the way.
Yeah, she's a great comic.
Yeah.
But she was like, so I fucked this guy. That was like her opening gambit. And the whole room just went...
Well, yeah,
And even I did as a stand-up, as like a woman who like rides and has a sex life and, well, contains sex life with people I'm sure are attracted to me and like will call me the next day, but I still have a sex life. I was shocked. I was like, oh my god. And you watched it. People didn't like it. They were very uncomfortable.
But that's Ireland.
That's Ireland. And also, it was an early gig. It was like 6 p.m. It was still bright outside.
But I found the same thing. But it takes a bit of skill to get around talking about sex in Ireland.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, because let's remember, she just popped over for that one day. I'm sure she would have realized after a while that that can sound a bit abrasive to an Irish audience.
Yeah,
they're not.
We were abrased.
Yeah, there was a large amount of abrasion from the Kilkenny yeah. crowd.
But I definitely I've no doubt kind of conservative Irish Catholic ideas and feelings around sex. I've no doubt about that. Maybe if I moved to New York for a year, I'd feel very differently. Maybe I'd be swinging out of different dicks every week. I've no idea.
Yeah. I mean, and who's to say whether it's good or bad?
But I definitely, like, I even have bits in my show about, like, using sex, like, as in an emotional kind of claw. So, like, when my last relationship was breaking down, I was like, oh, did I mention I love anal? Because I was trying to keep up. I was like, I told you that, didn't I? I love anal. So I was trying to keep him. Do you know that kind of way? Yeah, I mean, I'm completely fucked. Thanks for making me realize that, Des.
Oh, sorry. No, I was just curious. No, honestly, the only reason I challenged you a bit was because you had like some like strong judgments on. So I was like,
you understand. At the same time, I don't give a fuck what anyone does. These are just my feelings. And
the great thing about you is that you just chuck it right out there, which is great. Because on this podcast, you get a lot of people fucking dance around the issue.
Yeah. No. Like I do have friends who kind of like have like fuck buddies and booty call people and all that shit, and I'm shocked. Like, they'll tell me stories, I'm like their mother, I'm like, you what? And then he just went around to his house and what? I don't know how anyone copes with it. I'm too emotionally unstable to cope with it. I need the validity, I need the security of knowing.
Yeah, but also
if one night stand, I'm like, you're in love with me now, right? That's like, you're in love with me, like you've been inside me, you love me now. Like, I couldn't deal with the whole see ya. I'm not strong enough for it.
Yeah. So let me ask you this then, just to move off that. So within relationships, you don't have to go kissing and telling. Let me keep an eye on the time.
Yeah.
What is the time? Because I'm conscious that you have a show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're okay.
Yeah, we're grand.
So you've been in a number of relationships, but would you consider yourself within your relationships to have like a healthy sex life and everything?
Yes. Once I'm in, I'm in.
And you're not afraid to be open you're not afraid to be open when you're in.
No, because I become kind of obsessed with my boyfriends. So I just want to my friends slagged me. I was going out with this guy and your man who I was supposed to give my virginity to, and then I shafted him for that Turkish waiter. We were having a chat one day, not me and him, me and my mates, and they're like, who would you be? You know, if you could be anyone in the world, who would you be? And one of the girls was like, I'd be like Nelson Mandela. One was like, I'd be Mary Robinson. She was a present. And I was like, I'd be Dara, who was my boyfriend. So like, it's almost, I idolized them. And I was like, I just want to crawl into his back. I remember they still quote this shit back to me. So because I'm so besotted with them, I want to have sex with them all the time because I'm just so, I adore them. Do you know that way? I adore them. And then, of course, you know when a relationship's over, when suddenly when they touch you, it's like getting felt up by your brother. Do you know that when it turns?
I mean, I don't know if I can't identify with that thing, but I can certainly identify with not wanting to be touched.
You must know when it's like you're so mad about someone and then the relationship is coming to an end, because when you're so attracted to someone and then you know it's fucked when like you're the thought of having sex with them makes you nauseous.
Well, yeah, it's just no interest.
Yeah.
It's just like, how the fuck are we going to do this?
Yeah, I know. You're like, hold your nose and think of Ireland.
But do you have any, just chuck out any random tips? Would you ever consider yourself somebody that's good at advice to say you're in a relationship long term? How does one maintain a healthy sex life? You've had a few long terms, right?
Yeah, but I've never been with someone for like 10 years. My longest was maybe 5 years.
Oh, right.
And our problem was, like, we just kept, like, the riding was what was keeping us together in the end, because we were so dysfunctional. But we were still incredibly, like,
oh, right. So the sex was good, but everything else was terrible.
Yeah. Well, not everything, but most
things. The tattooed
things.
Guy.
Yes.
The bath guy.
The bath guy. But then there's an amazing woman called Esther Perel who I adore. Do you know, have you heard of her?
No.
She's a sex therapist. I think she's a sex psychiatrist. And she talks about how do you maintain attraction in a long-term relationship.
Yes.
And it's fascinating.
Which I'm very curious about, because that is definitely my weak area.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And I think it's fairly common. Her book is called Mating in Captivity. And she talks about how, you know, say a marriage, for example, you want stability, you want security, you want someone you can rely on, but you also want someone who you come home and you just want to like rip their cacks off and ride them senseless. And she's like, it's not really
it's
realistic.
It's hard to get that balance. Yeah.
Exactly. So she's talking about She's fascinating. Her TED Talk has like 10 million views or something.
I must listen.
Everyone's in the same boat.
Can you remember like a standout moment to close with a bit of wisdom before we head back to the comedy festival? By the way, we've been in a car the entire time. I forgot to tell. I'll tell our listeners in the
where
preview.
Where do you usually do this? The studio?
No. Normally my apartment in New York.
It's going to look like I'm a sex worker. You picked me up in the car and you dropped me back 20 minutes later.
Yeah.
Give me 50 quid.
Give me a blowjob.
Just to round up the sex podcast. We'll record the whole thing.
Get in there. I'll show you how. You want to feel fucking bad? You won't get fucking emotionally much attached to me, bitch, because I'll be gone.
I'd say you are a runner, like.
I'm a whole broad spectrum of things.
Yeah.
But just can you remember any standout moments from the podcast? It's from the TED Talk.
From the TED Talk. So she talks about it's kind of a Western attitude towards marriage, that you expect your husband or your partner to be your best friend. She was like, if you went to a woman in like fucking, I don't know, somewhere in the West, and you're like, I'm whipping something out now, like Iran.
Yeah, just.
And you're like, is your husband your best friend? She's like, they'd probably laugh in your face and be like, it's my husband, my best friend. Are you on crack? So like, in parts of the country or parts of the world, a marriage is a business deal.
Yes.
We want too much from one person. You can't have it all from one person. And she was like, that's the problem with our generation and with this side of the world, that you want everything from one person and it's too much pressure and people crack. She talks about people having affairs and she's like, the affair is never really about the so say me and you were married, right, and you had an affair, which you probably definitely would do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The affair I know, I can see it in you. The affair is nothing to do with me. It's nothing to do with me. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's about you, how this relationship makes you feel. It's about what you feel you're missing out on. It's about you feeling like you're at a weird stage in your life. It's about you wanting to feel more alive. But la, 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 la. So it's like you have to remove yourself. She also said something really interesting.
By the way, the absolutely was just a joke, because I know people would be judging the shit out of me.
But you would.
Who knows?
I know.
Never been married.
I know, but I'd say you definitely would.
Never been married. So she says...
She's just... So she kind of just...
How does she feel about that? Like, how does she feel about the way that an affair is considered to be the numero uno?
So she's like, it should be forgiven. She's like, you can move past an affair. You can forgive an affair. You have a different marriage, but you can move past it. She was also saying, and I talk about it, our tips kind of touch on it in stand-up. Like, you know, I talk about like monogamy and getting married in your 20s was great when we all died at 35 from rickets or whatever. But now you could live till you're 100. And I'm like, till death do you a favor. Like, how do you maintain? Like, you have
till
to
death
be,
do you a favor is a good line.
Thank you.
Yeah. Very good line, Joanne.
So, yeah, she's like, how do you maintain that attraction? And for certain people, sex is more important than others.
Yes.
Some people don't mind when the sex wanes. Like, even when I was living with the tattooed baby, like... We'd go through periods of like riding loads and then not riding. And what was handy is because I'm away for work, when you come back, you get breaks. Yeah,
absence makes the heart grow.
It does. And she also said when partners are most attracted to each other, when they see each other being good at something, not when they're in each other's company. You're not sitting there watching X Factor, staring at them going, oh my God, I can't fuck it. It's when you see them, maybe you visit them in work and they're a doctor and they're saving a life and you're suddenly really attracted to them. It's when they're being good at something.
Yeah.
Doing their own thing. People are actually attracted to, what am I trying to say? Individuality, I guess. It's the codependent.
Most of the time you're sitting there
hard.
Watching X Factor thinking, this fucker better not start fucking trying to have sex now, because it's the furthest thing from my mind.
I stand up on that as well.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, the surprise erections.
What, like suddenly they're horny?
As in like the kind of when you're just chilling out, because men of them would, like I think from my experience, men that I've been with have a higher sex drive than me, because men do. Sometimes, not always, not all men. La, 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 la.
When they get older, not so much.
Yeah, I know. That's a massive issue. I live with a sex psychiatrist at the moment in London, and it's like...
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's... Oh, my God, Dad.
Man or woman?
Field day. Woman.
I want her on.
Will I tell you a story?
Please, I want her on the fucking pod. Well, wait, I can fit in. You're the one that was concerned about the time.
Yeah, I'll tell you the story. So basically, I was saying to her, I was like, tell me everything. She's like, okay, this week... So basically, a couple of weeks ago, a guy came into the clinic and he had what I keep calling guacamole of the throat, gonorrhea of the throat.
Right.
I'm Irish, I can't say throat.
Throat.
Throat. Gonorrhea of the throat. And he So he came in there like, you've gonorrhea of the throat. Here is some medication. Take it. You'll be cleared up in a week, but you have to abstain. So no blowjobs, no kissing, no nothing. He's like, I'm single. Like, I just won't touch anyone. They're like, don't touch anyone. Came back the next week. Still had gonorrhea of the throat. They were like, that's highly irregular. Did you abstain? He's like, yep, abstain. Didn't do anything. They're like, right, okay. They gave him the meds. Again, came back the third week, second week. Still had gonorrhea. And he was like, I'm abstaining. And they're like, you're not. Like, these meds are 100% effective. He's like, I don't know what to tell you. I'm a medical marvel. That's what he kept saying. So at this stage, they were like, right, you need to go and see the psychiatrist. She's my housemate. And she was like, okay, listen, talk me through your day. Let's get to the bottom of this. Because obviously they were going, this fucking whack job is up to something. So anyway, they were like, talk me through your day. And he's like, well, I get up in the morning and I go for a run and I go to work. And he worked in like banking, like totally normal guy. He's like, go work, meet the lads for a pint in the evening. And then the penny dropped and his face lit up and he goes, oh my God. Could it be what I do with the condoms up in Hampstead Heath? And she went, well, what do you do with the condoms? And he goes, well, I eat them.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. When he goes on his runs, he eats his condoms off the ground. Yeah.
Has she shared that with you?
Yeah.
Wow. I'd love to chat to her, but not about that.
Yeah, no, she's fascinating. Like the shit. But yeah, she's...
No, because I have so many questions. You know, because we, like, even in this conversation, we all make loads of assumptions. I do, you do, everybody does.
Yeah, you have to survive.
No, I know, but I would love to just get a little... You know, I'd love to get, you know, just some people that know the background behind what assumptions are true, what aren't.
Yeah.
You know, and the people that really, the people that really do know about the science behind some of the stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
Because everybody's got their, like, you know, when you do this, this happens. But, like, a lot of times that's just somebody said it to them.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you'd
yeah.
love to just get that, the authoritative voice on what's really going on.
Yeah.
You know? So, I actually, this woman came to the show last night and she's like a sex therapist. And I forgot to turn it off. Steve. Steve is, I'm meeting him. We better go.
Okay.
It's, yeah, you're friends with his sister.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's probably the one that was fucking calling you a fascist. It popped into...
It wasn't her, no.
It's popping into my head, but sure, a very Irish way to finish a podcast. Somebody's ringing me, and it's actually...
him.
His sister is like one of your close friends. Yeah. Okay, thank you, Joanne.
Thank you, Daz.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Joanne. It's great. It's great to record an ep in Ireland. I always like that. Thanks to everybody who listened. Got some new subscribers this week, I think. Did a good bit of promo for the podcast, so welcome. Do leave a review on iTunes, 5-star review preferably. And spread the word. Got a lot of new followers on Instagram too from all our Love Island action. So if you're any of them, thanks for coming on board. Katie Boyle is at Katie Boyle Comic. She'll be back next week. And I am doing another work in progress show about my mom at the Fat Black Pussycat on Sunday night at 7 p.m. So if anybody's in New York and wants to check that out, 7 p.m., book it on the ComedyCellar.com reservations page, Sunday night, 7 p.m. And that's it. I mean, I am mega jet lagged. It's 1 a.m. I actually did a show at the Comedy Cellar. So I'm dying to go to bed, and that's not to say that I don't appreciate you, but I'm going to go, guys. My Instagram is at Des Bishop. Chat to me there. I love you and I miss you. Good night.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.